The reading this morning shall come from Matthew, the sixth chapter. That's Matthew, the sixth chapter. And I will be reading from the King James Version. I shall begin at the fifth verse. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need on before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us thy day of daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, for that reading from the Word of God. Thank you for following along in your Bible and our text for today, Matthew 6, 5 through 13. We are delighted that you are assembling today with God's people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. May God bless you today for being in the assembly. The statement, "Thy will be done," in this prayer that is recorded for us by Matthew and his gospel is familiar. It's acceptable to us. It's a good statement. It's comfortable. We're comfortable with that. It's non-threatening to us. It has a certain ring of loyalty and devotion about it that should really be a part of every Christian's prayer and every Christian's hope. We would certainly agree as God's people that things go better when God's will is done. Most of us understand the statement. We agree that we're speaking about God's will. We Christians agree that we should be devoted to achieving God's will in our lives. We would say there's no mystery in that statement and that Christians pretty well understand it. We not only understand that phrase, but we use it a lot of times. When we pray to God, when we're making a request to God for a specific blessing, it would be inappropriate for us and impossible to dictate to God what He must do. We would never do that as God's children. We don't wish to sound haughty or arrogant when we pray to God. God is superior to us, and so we submissively pray, "Thy will be done." In days past, we've heard this expression quite a bit. People quoting this particular prayer and referring to it as the Lord's Prayer. In the past, it closed a school devotional. It opened a group or family picnic. It closed a devotional at public functions, and many times it was used when various churches gathered themselves together. Likely, most people didn't think about what was really being said when they repeated those words, "Thy will be done." They just recited the expected words. And probably uncounted millions of people have repeated the words, "Thy will be done," without really the faintest notion of what they are meaning when they say those words, and not really the faintest notion of what God's will really is. Perhaps even more alarming is that more people have repeated these words without any intention whatsoever of seeing to it that the Father's will is done in their lives. In this model prayer that was used 2,000 years ago, when Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, it really says a lot more than thy will be done. It says, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Have you ever given serious thoughts to God's will being done on this earth as it is done in heaven? Have you ever really contemplated that and mulled it over and meditated on that concept and what it really means? We're asking that God's will is done in our lives. That means we have to brush aside our own personal will. We're asking that God's will be done in the world surrounding us. And we look at all the things that are going on in the world and we just shake our heads. Don't see how that will ever happen. We're asking Him to help us to find and to do His will. Something to think about. When you pray, thy will be done, you're praying for something. And it's good to think about what it is that we're praying for. In the first place, we need to discover what God's will is. To pray for His will to be done, we need to have some concept of what His will is. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. That pretty much describes in a nutshell. There are many other passages we could use, but that's a pretty good nutshell passage. To describe what it is we're talking about, before we can do God's will, we need to understand what His will is. To pray, thy will be done, is a commitment to knowing God's will as it is revealed in His Word. And it follows that if we're going to know to do what God's will is, and we praying for that in our everyday lives, we're going to have to read the book that contains His will and make our best efforts in life to understand what He's trying to communicate by the written Word. Recall that following the death of Christ, the apostles pointed men to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote of that gospel in Romans 1 and verse 17, it is the righteousness of God revealed. If we want to know what the will of God is for our lives, we spend time with the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't we? Pretty simple point. When we pray, thy will be done, included in that is that we want to discover what God's will is. Secondly, we want to understand what God's will. It's one thing to discover what God's will says, and it's another thing to understand it. Notice again from Psalm 119 and verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Did you catch that? The simple people can understand God's Word. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, this is fully harmonious with what Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians when he said, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He's not telling us something that's impossible for us to do, is he? He's admonishing for us to do the right thing. Understand the will of the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul referred to young Timothy and said of his life that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. We know where God's will is found, and we know that we can understand it when we look into it and read it carefully and be confident that we can understand it. There seems to be a lot of confusion over deciding what God's will is when dealing with some very practical issues. There are some suggested guidelines that you and I could benefit from, I think. Number one, is what I want to do in agreement with what God has told me in His Word? If so, fine. And if not, don't do it. It's as simple as that. Secondly, have I faced a similar decision or situation in my life before when trying to decide what to do and if it's based on the will of God. Have I faced that situation before in life? And if so, what did I do then? And what did I find in God's Word before? And if I've made a mistake, it's good not to repeat mistakes, isn't it? Thirdly, if the decision is difficult, seek godly counsel from a spiritually minded person. One that will confidently help you find what God's will teaches in His Word. Proverbs 11 and verse 14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall." Make a decision, fourthly, make the decision a matter of quiet and earnest prayer. Ask the Father to guide you in the proper course of action. Did you know that you could ask God for wisdom and He would bless you with it? That's what James tells us in James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Fifthly, don't ignore the common sense that God has given you. If you're trying to decide what's right or wrong in the face of what God's will really is, rely on your common sense when you read God's Word. That's important. And then number six, take your time. Don't make hasty and impatient decisions. You know, God is seldom in a rush about things. God brings His will to bear upon us as we meditate upon it carefully. Hasty decisions sometimes are regretted decisions. Keep in mind that the Word of God expresses the will of God, and it's designed to make men perfect, complete, fully equipped, adequate for every good work they can do as followers of God, according to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Thirdly, it's important for us to submit to God's will. Once we understand what it is, once we know what it is, and we're confident that we can read it in the Bible, we know what God's will is, then we have the responsibility to submit to it. Very simply, James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, "Submit therefore to God." End of sentence. Not end of verse, but end of sentence. Submit to God. That's pretty clear and pretty simple, isn't it? He goes on to say, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." But, submit to God. It's not enough just to know what God's will is. We have to be able to apply that to our lives, as we say. Thy will be done is actually a prayer of submission. It says, I'm going to set my personal will aside and I'm going to adopt the will of God. And that's what I want for my life. And not only my life, but the world around me. Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul admonished Christians not to be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world, he says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I regard it as a privilege, don't you, to submit to what is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. Don't you regard that as a privilege? I certainly do. The truth is that in the life of a Christian, the cause of all the unrest that we experience and the frustration that we experience, unhappiness and sense of powerlessness, can really be traced to times in our lives when we follow our own selfish will as opposed to the will of God. When we fail, we can attribute our failure to the desire to have my way and not the way that God has revealed for us in His Word. This is saying no to God. We don't want to do that. If we're praying, thy will be done, we're not saying no to God in any respect. Notice some other passages about submitting to the will of God. In Ephesians 6 and verse 6, in reference to servants or workers who serve their employers, either way, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And he tells us what the will of God specifically is relative to servants serving people, their masters in this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." That tells us that we need to be thankful people and give thanks to God. That's part of the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, "For this is the will of God." You see how plain the Holy Spirit makes this known to men? He says, "Let me tell you what the will of God is." And then he tells us, "This is the will of God for your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." That's the way to do the will of God in that respect. In Matthew 21, beginning in verse 28, Jesus gave a parable to men, and he said, "Now you tell me what you think about this. Let me tell you a story, and you tell me what you think about it." He says, "A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Then Jesus asked the question, of which he had previously said, 'Tell me what you think about it. Which of the two did the will of the Father?' And they said, 'The first one.'" And he goes on to say, you're exactly right. The one that obeyed is the one that did the will of the Father. You see how simple that is? By the little simple story and illustration and parable, he shows us what it really is to do the will of God. It's not to say, "Well, yeah, I'll do that," and then change our mind later. And even when we say, "No, I don't know if I want to do that or not," but after time we reflect about it and think about it, "Well, you know, the best thing is for me to do the will of God, go ahead and do it." Jesus said, "The one who obeys does the right thing." That's pretty clear about what it is to submit to God's will, don't you think? Don't you think the Bible is very clear about that? Point number four, and the final point in our lesson this morning, is that we must submit to the will of God, pray, "Thy will be done," in order to accomplish God's plan. And this is what we want to emphasize with just a little bit more scriptures on this particular point for us to think about. God's plan is for man to be saved as opposed to being lost. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is God's plan for every man, but it's left up to man. God doesn't force anyone to obey his will, but he doesn't want any to perish because of their sins and the consequences of them. He wants them to be saved. This involves receiving the love of the truth. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in the 2 Thessalonian letter in chapter 2 and verse 10, and referred to those who are perishing, and remember God said that he didn't desire that for anyone. But he said there's going to be some who do perish, and it's within their own control. Now notice what's characteristic of those who perish in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. "Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." They didn't receive the truth. They didn't want to follow and submit to the will of God is a synonymous way of saying that. Because God's word is truth. That's what Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17. God's word is designed to bring men to believe in Christ as the Son of God and to be saved through the sacrifice of that Son on the cross. In John 3:15, Jesus said, "So that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life." In Colossians 1 and verse 18, "He is also the head of the body, the church," in reference to Christ, "and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." He's saying this is the will of God for you, that Christ has first place in everything. Now, is there some little nook and cranny in your life where you push Christ aside in your own mind and say, "Oh, I know, the teaching is this, but I want to do this"? Now, is that true with you? That's true with a lot of people. Is that true with you? And if it is, I ask you to think carefully about that. Because we are admonished in this passage for Christ to come to have the first place in our lives. You know, that's just harmonious with what Jesus taught in Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a priority, isn't it? In John 1, 12 and 13, as many as received Christ, or Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Born of the water and the Spirit, as Jesus described to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In Galatians 1 and verse 4, Paul wrote and said this, that Christ gave Himself for our sins, so that He might rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father. You see what God's will is there? It's for us to be rescued from this present evil age, Paul wrote. And aren't we living in a present evil age also? You know, I think by comparison that we truly are. God gave His Son for our sins to rescue us from that. We don't want to be a part of it. We want to be rescued from it, don't we? That's the will of God. What is God's plan for believers? Listen to what Paul says to the Colossian believers as expressed in a prayer to God in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you see how that is described? Walking worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects. You know, it'd be quite interesting and quite suitable to a lot of people in this world if this passage said pleasing Him in some respects. But it doesn't say that at all, does it? Remember, we're looking at the Word of God, and every word is very important. It conveys meaning. Please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here are a few scriptures relating to God's plan for believers. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. You have need of endurance that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And everyone who does the will of God will receive what God has promised. Isn't that comforting? 1 Peter 2 and verse 15. Such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing right, you see? This is the will of God. Do right. Do what's right. You see how simple that is? In 1 Peter 4 and verse 2, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We could be like everybody else and live according to the lusts of our flesh. We could. We have that choice. We're free to make that choice and that decision in life. But if we're people who pray, thy will be done, that's not the decision that we make. In 1 John 2 and verse 17, the world is passing away and its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You see another benefit of praying, thy will be done? It's to live forever. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Is it possible for us to stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God? Now, Paul suggests that very plainly here in Colossians 4 and verse 12, doesn't he? And in Romans 8, 27 and 28, we have this. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. You appreciate the expression, the will of God, there in that passage? these are some passages that I think will help us to understand that what we are praying when we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The very moment that we perceive what the will of God is, that places us under an obligation. And that presents for us a fork in the road in our decision making. It is a test. It is the point in life where we can be intellectually honest or we can be intellectually dishonest. Once we realize what the will of God is, we have a choice. Do I live in harmony with that or do I reject it? If we're intellectually honest, see it objectively and clearly, and know clearly what the will of God is because it's written in His Word, and make a conscious decision, this is the way I'm going to live, we're doing right. And if we make the conscious decision to push it away and push it out of our minds, refusing to conform to it, then only bad things await us then. It's fundamental to adopt Thy will be done. Doesn't matter to me what it is. Your will, God, is what I want for my life. It's fundamental to adopt that, believe that, and practice that as a follower of God. It's fundamental to the entrance into the kingdom that Christ came to bring to men. Matthew 7 and verse 21. It's right at the threshold of the kingdom. One must lay aside his own will and accept the will of God. Believe it. Practice it. No one is converted who cannot truly say, Thy will be done. No one can get into Christ who complains about baptism. No one can get in who, having learned what God says, buried in baptism, chooses the option that men give to be sprinkled. We have to do the will of God. No one get into the kingdom who, having learned that Jesus built His church, chooses the option to choose between a multiplicity of differing churches among men, telling men, attend the church of your choice. No one can get in who complains about having to attend worship services and Bible classes. People who can truly pray this prayer would choose to do God's will even if God would let them by with something different. They would make a conscious choice. Whatever God said, I'm going to do it. Notice that from our text, the second part of the petition is that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, if the veil of heaven were pulled back just for a minute so you and I could get a glimpse of heaven in relation to, is God's will really done there or not? What do you suppose we would see? You know, the Scriptures don't reveal a whole lot to us about that subject. It doesn't give us much information about the order of the heavenly sphere. But what little information that is given for us in the Scriptures forms a very specific impression. We would move back the curtain and we would see that God is absolutely on His throne. That He is absolute in His authority over everything and everyone. That He's held in absolute honor and respect in the heavenly realm. Heavenly beings are honored to fulfill God's wishes there. God's purposes are fulfilled without questioning and resistance. His purposes are the only purposes as far as any beings that surround Him in the heavenly realm to do Him service. In Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21, we have this. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, who serve Him, doing His will. No angel would say to God, well, you know, we'll think about that and we'll get back to you later as to whether or not we want to do that. No angel will tell the Lord that. No angel would say, well, it's our personal preference not to do it that way. What angel would tell the Lord that? What angel would tell the Lord, we're not really interested in your concerns because those concerns are not really important to us. We have concerns of our own. Is that your concept of moving back the screen so we can see what's going on in heaven? God's will in heaven is done in total submission to His purposes and desires. We would see the will of God being done without one creature being out of harmony with God's will. The will of God is done in heaven instantly, constantly, without failure. God's will is done. Now, when we get that concept in our minds and think about that clearly, question, are we willing to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? It is God's desire through Christ that the divine will be done in human life, just as it is in the heavenly sphere. What would that mean? Human life would hold God in absolute honor and reverence and respect. Every human on the face of the earth would do that if God's will were done on earth as it is in heaven. Human life would be honored and pleased to fulfill God's wishes and desires. And humans would desire to do this, desire to fulfill God's wishes and desires without any hint of rebellion or resistance. Human life would consider God's purposes as the only purposes that really amount to anything. The only purposes that have any value. God's purposes would always take precedent. God's purposes would be the deciding factor in every sphere of our lives. Human life would do God's will completely through total submission. Wow, what a concept. It's delightful to meditate on what this world would be like if God's will were done by every creature. Can you just imagine? There would be no place in this life for prisons, no jails, no dishonesty, no cheating, no lying. Why do they sell tickets to things to show that you've paid your money? What would it be like to take a plane trip somewhere and you walk to the gate and they ask you, did you pay for your fare? And you just simply said yes or no to that question. Yes, I did pay. Okay, enter. No ticket, no identification, no nothing. Because every word spoken is true. Can you imagine a world like that? What it would really be like? It's hard to imagine, I know, isn't it? Difficult to contemplate. Do you realize that only man, the highest order of the heavenly creation, only man is the one that chooses not to do the will of God? Only man. All the animals do His will. All the plants conform to His will. The planet conforms to His will. The solar system conforms to His will. Only man chooses to rebel. Man is the one who brought upon the earth all of its ills And he's done it by rebellion against the will of God. But at least once, God's will has been done on earth precisely as it is in heaven. Only once. Do you know who did it? Only in Jesus Christ was God's will perfectly done on this earth. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work," in John 4 and verse 34. Isn't that something? John 5 and verse 30, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that show? Here is an individual who can pray this prayer, and he knows really what it's all about. In John 6, verse 38, "I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In verse 40, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day." Jesus is the perfect example of God's will being done on this earth. Do you want to pray this prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? You want to pray that prayer? You know, that becomes now a more challenging question, I think, doesn't it? In your prayers to God, are you willing to say, "Thy will be done"? Now, if that's what you're willing to pray, then you're asking the Lord to take your life and conform it to his will. If I pray that prayer, I'm yielding all I have and all I am to the hand of the potter. And I'm going to let him form me and shape me and make me. I'm asking the Father to use me to make the earth a little more like heaven. And he will, if I'm converted to his will. I'm praying for spiritual wisdom to learn his will. I'm praying for the desire within my heart to do his will. I'm praying for strength in my heart to carry out his will. I want to grow where he wants me to grow. I want to change where he wants me to change. I want to learn from him. I want to stop being what he does not want me to be. I want to be everything that he wants me to be. The question is not, will there ever be a time when the whole world does the will of God as it is in heaven? That's not really the question. The question relates to me as a person, and the question relates to you as a person, to each of us. Will you do God's will as it is done in heaven? It happened in Jesus' life when he lived in a wicked age. It can happen in your life even when you live in a wicked age. But it begins by your submission of your life to Jesus Christ, to his will, and to his example. Are you encouraged to do that today? Have I helped in any way you to be encouraged to do his will today? I hope so. That's my prayer, and that's my effort. I hope so. If you're in our assembly today, and you're ready to become a Christian by putting Christ on in baptism, because you believe that he's the Son of God and you're repenting of your sins and you're courageous enough to stand before people and make the good confession that he's the Son of God, we can help you with that today. The angels in heaven will rejoice over your repentance. Every soul in this assembly will rejoice at your obedience to the gospel, that another believer is added to the kingdom. We can take care of that right now. If that's your desire, please come to the front and let me assist you while together we stand and encourage you by singing number 332. May God bless you.